Chapter 41. "It's time, Fatty," Ferl Caelius said. "He's not crazy enough to follow us across this." They were 1,400 feet up Mount Hezeron, the tallest mountain on the Seoran border. So far, the hike had been arduous, but the worst exposures had been of a dozen feet. From here, there were two ways over the mountain, through the notch to one side, or straight across the face. Ferl had nearly started a brawl at the last village by asking which way a brave man in a hurry would go. Some of the villagers maintained that the face was never a good option, but that it would be especially bad this time of year. Even a light dusting of snow or freezing rain would make the path suicide. Others had maintained that going over the face was the only way to make it through the mountains before the snows hit. Getting stuck in the steeps and the deeps that made the devil's pass through the notch would be certain death if it snowed. Snow was coming. Baron Kirov wasn't doing well. He was so scared of heights he'd been crying.
If he'd be crazy to follow us, what does that make us?
Eager to live. I grew up on mountains tougher than this. Ferl shrugged. Follow or fall.
Can't you leave me?
Baron Kirov was pathetic. Ferl had brought him along because he didn't know what would happen when he fled, and he'd wanted a bargaining chip. But maybe it had been a mistake. The fat man had slowed him down.
They might want you alive. If you stay here, that Werdmeister would blast me off the rock. If you're with me, he might not.
Might not?
Move, Fatty.
Ferl Caelius looked at the dark clouds grimly. His tribe, the Iktana, was a mountain tribe. He was one of the best climbers he knew, but he'd never liked climbing. Battle he liked. Battle made you feel alive. But climbing was arbitrary, the mountain gods capricious. He'd seen the most devout clansmen plunge to his death when he'd put his weight on a stone that had held Ferl, who was heavier, only a moment before. In battle, a stray arrow might kill you, of course, but you could move. You could fight. Death might still come, but it wouldn't find you scared, clinging to a bit of rock with slick fingers, praying against the next blast of wind. This traverse wasn't the worst he'd seen. It climbed perhaps 100 feet, and its entire length was narrow, maybe 3 feet wide. 3 feet was pretty damn wide. It was the sheer drop that made that 3 feet seem ever so much smaller. Knowing that if you slipped, you had absolutely no chance of catching yourself, that stumbling meant certain death, that did things to a man. It was doing things to Fatty Kirov. The Baron, unfortunately, had no idea why he was important. Ferl hadn't been able to find out anything either. But Fatty was important enough that the God King had sent a Werdmeister after them.
"You're going first, Fatty. I'll take all the gear, but that's all the mercy you get."
It wasn't mercy, it was practicality. Fatty would go slower with a pack, and if he fell, Ferl didn't want to lose his supplies.
"I can't do it," Baron Kirov said. "Please."
Sweat was coursing down his round face. His little red whiskers quivered like a rabbit's. Ferl drew his sword, the sword he'd given so much to protect, the sword that would make him a clan warlord. It was everything a warlord could want, a perfect sword, down to the Highland runes on the steel that Ferl recognized but couldn't read.
He gestured with the sword, a little shrug that said, "Take your chances with the path, or take your chances with the sword."
The Baron started onto the path. He was muttering too low for Ferl to hear him, but it sounded like he was praying. Surprisingly, Fatty made good time. Furl had to slap him once with the flat of his blade when he froze up and started scooting. They didn't have time to scoot. If they weren't far enough away from the Verdmeister when he made it out of the trees, Furl was dead. He'd chosen to go behind Fatty because it was the only way to keep the man moving. But it meant that he was exposed to whatever magic the Verdmeister threw at them. If they weren't far enough away to make the Verdmeister worry that he would kill the Baron, it would be all over. The view was breathtaking. They were past the middle of the exposure, and they could see forever. Furl thought he could see Cenaria City, far to the northwest. It made it seem that they'd hardly covered any ground at all. But Furl wasn't interested in the cloudless expanses to the north. He was interested in the slight prick he'd just felt on his skin. Snow. He looked up. The leading edge of the black wall of clouds was directly above them. Fatty stopped.
The path is getting narrower.
The Verdmeister's out of the woods. We've got no choice.
The Baron swallowed and started shuffling forward, his face pressed to the rock, his arms spread-eagled. Behind them, the Verdmeister was standing with his fists on his hips, furious. Furl looked ahead. Another 30 paces, and just one more hard section where the ledge narrowed to a foot and a half across. Fatty was sucking down the thin air, frozen.
"You can do this," Furl told him. "I know you can."
Miraculously, Fatty started moving. Shuffling, but with confidence, as if he'd found some well of courage in himself that he'd never known he had.
"I'm doing it,"
he said. And he did. He made it past the narrowest part of the ledge, and Furl followed, hard on his heels, kicking gravel out into space and trying not to follow it. The ledge began to widen, and Fatty turned to walk rather than shuffle. Even though the ledge was still less than 3 feet wide, he was laughing. Then there was a blur of green past them, and the ledge exploded in front of them. As the smoke blew away in the icy winds, the clouds opened up, and it started snowing. Big, fat flakes were driven in circles and horizontal lines by the wind. Fatty and Furl both stared at the gap in front of them. It was barely 3 feet across, but there was no room to run for the approach. The far side didn't look stable either.
"If you do this," Furl said, "I'll never call you Fatty again."
"Go bugger yourself,"
Fatty said, and jumped. He scrambled on the other side, but he made it. Another missile hit the rock over Furl's head, and rock chips cut his face and rained down over him. He shook his head to clear his eyes, lost his balance, and then found it again, all in a moment. He took 2 steps and leapt. The ledge crumbled under his feet, faster than he could scramble up it. He threw out his arms, grabbing for anything. A hand grabbed his. The Baron yanked him to safety.
Gasping, Furl bent over at the waist, hands on his thighs. After a moment, he said,
"You saved me. Why?
The Baron's answer was lost as the rock behind them exploded again. Furl surveyed the rest of the ledge. It was another 30 paces before they would disappear around a corner from the Verdmeister. The ledge from here on was 5 feet wide, or wider, too wide for one of the missiles to demolish, but they were still exposed. And Furl, sure as hell, wasn't going to stay in the back anymore. He sheathed his sword and grabbed the Baron, turning him around.
"This is the only way we get out of this," he said.
"It's fine," the Baron said. "I'm not climbing back across that ledge, and I have no idea what to do in the wilderness anyway. I'm with you."
They started backing up together, Furl looking at his feet, and then at the Verdmeister across the face from them. The young man had a glowing green missile circling slowly around his body.
He knew his quarry was getting away from him. The missile started spinning faster and faster. Furl forced the Baron closer to the edge in a silent threat. The missile slowed, and they could see the Werdmeister's mouth moving in inaudible curses. Furl extended his middle finger to the man in a silent salute. A moment later, laughing, the Baron copied the gesture. Then a stone shifted under Furl's feet as he stepped backward. He was slipping, pulling Baron Kirov right on top of himself. There was only one thing to do. He pushed the Baron toward the edge as hard as he could, propelling his own body to safety. He landed on his butt on the ledge. He could see the Baron's fingers clinging to the edge. Furl rolled close and saw the Baron's eyes as round as saucers.
"Help!"
the Baron shouted. Furl didn't move. In the end, Fatty was simply too fat. He held on for a moment longer, then his spindly arms couldn't hold him anymore. His fingers slipped off the rock. The fall took a long time, but Fatty never screamed. Together, Furl and the Werdmeister watched him sail to the rocky shores of death. On the other side of the mountain, the Werdmeister's face seemed to fall as far as the Baron's body. The God King was not understanding of failure. Furl scooted back from the edge and around the bend. He congratulated himself on having the foresight to keep the pack.